again. This is the old Good Morning Man Kermit Edney with program 191 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It comes as no surprise that this is National Fire Prevention Week. For as long as I can remember, it always starts on the first Sunday in October and runs for the following week. The timing is because this officially is the start of the heating season, especially up north, and it's when fire prevention people are trying to get you to get your smoke alerts checked out, your chimneys cleaned, to stash in fire extinguishers, and all those good things. So today, let's recall the more important, the spectacular fires that have occurred in the WHKP years. Now, first, we're going to rule out the fires back before 1946. The bigger ones of those have already been covered by Mr. Fitz and others. The Globe Hotel Fire and Ripley House, the Wheeler Hotel Fire, those are some of them. The old St. John's Hotel, all those were wintertime fires. Now, we're also going to rule out all the school fires. One of the common dangers of becoming a fireman is that you get so carried away with your work in fighting fires. Now and then, you want to get one going good so you can watch it and battle it yourself. It's a disease, and I'm not going to embarrass the family of that young man anymore by identifying the young volunteer fireman turned arsonist who burned several public schools in the Fruitland Institute. Glenn Marlowe, superintendent of schools in the county during the period, once joked he could have provided him a better list, that if he were going to commit arson, he might as well burn the old schools first. I didn't really dig into each of the fires that destroyed the old wooden summer hotels. I do remember vividly the Edney Inn fire, which occurred on July 4, 1939, right at the start of the season. One of the last of those old hotel fires was the old Flack Hotel at Edneyville, which burned on Sunday morning in November of 1971. Flack was known for its Tuesday and Friday night square dancing and boasted as a guest one summer, Judy Canova, who was booked with the Paul Whiteman Band when she was at Flack. Last week, as we were doing the series on the downtown revitalization program, we mentioned the most expensive fire in history, the total loss of the just-finished Belk Department Store, with building and contents topping $250,000, and that was back in 1953. Though the interior was totally glutted, the enormous outside stone walls in the original building, put there by T.C. Israel in 1894, prevented the blaze from spreading to other buildings. Also in the CBD programs last week, we talked about the most spectacular fire in our memory, the Fifth Avenue Winn-Dixie store, and how as each can containing oil seasoning, sardines, salmon, bottles of cooking oil, nuts, popcorn, as the heat would produce a point of explosion or inflammation, it was sort of like watching a fireworks show. A fire on March 24, 1963, involved the main plant of the Superior Laundry and Cleaners and also several buildings of the Hendersonville Lumber Company in the 8th Avenue East Locust Street area. An estimate of losses in this fire were set at $200,000 and makes it one of the more expensive fires in the past 50 years. Fire Chief Ed Edney said he was positive that arson was involved, but nothing could be proved. Later, the building that had been involved in this fire had been partially destroyed and had been rebuilt to house the equipment that had been salvaged from that earlier fire. Apparently, this fire started when an electrical line had begun striking the metal side of the building and it set the roof on fire. Firemen said this was the hottest fire they ever fought in Hendersonville. The metal sheeting covering the building glowed red during the fire. In the same year, a few months earlier, in April, the old Hendersonville Supply and Coal Company had been destroyed by fire. Emil and David Latt had operated this fine millwork center that had been in business in the Lenox Springs area for 45 years. The glow of the fire was spotted by two deputy sheriffs riding patrol on US 176. As they radioed in a first alert, they then approached the fire, and they saw as they got closer the building was a mass of flames and asked for all the backup they could get. Flames devoured the wooden building in less than 30 minutes, and the assisting firemen were wetting down Lowe's and other homes in the area to protect them from catching fire. In 1967, the most damaging fire of all time, as fire engulfed Barber's studio and bookstore, heavily damaging more than 1 million photographic negatives of rare historical value. This fire, which started in the basement, destroyed the entire spring and summer collection of books, the photo studio, the dark rooms, all supplies, and most of Don's photographic equipment. Barber was able to salvage only valuable lenses from the debris. In 1970, as the Hendersonville Country Club was going through extensive remodeling, fire, which apparently started from some temporary propane lines being used in construction, got an inferno going which completely destroyed the old clubhouse and the newly remodeled work which had just been put in place. Jim Fain, said that for an inanimate object, the country club fire mirrored the tragedies and the triumphs and was the worst emotional fire in history in the community. The last fire I remember quite vividly occurred on Christmas night, 1977, when at the conclusion of our family hearts game, a holiday tradition, someone noticed the smell of smoke. I opened the door to the lower level, and the fumes had gathered so densely in the stairwell you couldn't see the light from the burning bulb. The same situation had occurred in the springtime when the serviceman had set the points too far apart on the pistol oil burner. When a neighbor had called back then and said smoke was coming from our house, I raced home, hit both garage door openers to let the smoke escape, and then shut down the oil burner manually. We experienced no damage. Well, when obviously the same thing was happening for a second time, I did the same thing. Raced outside, hit both garage door openers. Oops! Made one terrible mistake. In the springtime, there had been no fires in the fireplaces downstairs. At Christmas, there were still glowing embers, and when the air gushed in from the open doors, the oil fumes were blown into the mouth of the fireplace, where they were explosively ignited, and the house was aflame from end to end. While we even lost our underwear and gifts we'd received for Christmas, we had enough insurance to build back and start like new on the same foundations, which makes for another pleasant memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.